passage is an amazing vision and hope for what we're about as Christians. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them we might become partakers, or literally sharers, or participants, or fellowshippers in the divine nature. Think about what that means. Think that that means we have the amazing opportunity, starting now and continuing for eternity, of fellowshipping with the triune God, of joining in to the fellowship, the community of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And we get to participate in that. And again, it starts now and it continues for eternity. I mean, that's an amazing statement that Peter makes. And then, as Rick was saying, from there he says, now that's what God has done. Now make your every effort. And he talks about these character qualities. And especially in addition to the list of qualities, at verse 8, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. That idea of increasing, isn't it? In other words, like Rick said, it's not, I've got enough God now, I'm good, I'm going to coast, I'm on this plateau. What Peter says is there needs to be this increase. We need to be consciously looking at our character and seeing how are we becoming more like Jesus. And this, and there is this increasing process. And so if God has done all this and He's made it somewhat clear of what our part is, a question that was asked at the very beginning of Soul Talk, of Soul Care, the Wednesday night group, is why doesn't that happen more? Why don't we change? Why don't we grow? Why are we still struggling with things we've been struggling with for a long time? In our most sincere and devoted and honest efforts, why are we still struggling with something that I was struggling with a month ago or 20 years ago? Why don't we see happening what Peter says is supposed to happen here? And I think he answers, or at least gives a partial answer, in verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities, and I think that includes the increasing part, the growing part, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. We have really bad memories. And I think the longer we're Christians, the worse our memories get of what we were cleansed from. What were you cleansed from when you became a Christian? What were you cleansed from? What were things in your life that maybe you've even forgotten about because it's been a long time, but they were bad. They were so bad. They were so hard. And God cleansed you of those, whether in your experience or certainly in your soul, in terms of your justification, in terms of your being made clean before Him. Have you forgotten about that? I do. I don't think about that very much. That's one of the things that this table is for. This is a reminder. Because if we don't remember what we've been cleansed of, Peter says, that blinds us. That makes us forget. That makes us happy with the way things are and the world's pretty good and we're pretty comfortable here. And we lose sight, our blinded eyes, because of our bad memories. Our blinded eyes forget about being able to participate in the divine nature, to be able to fellowship, to be able to, by the Holy Spirit, to join into the community between the Son and the Father. Because we just forget. We forget what we've been cleansed from. And that's what Peter says here. Which is, of course, what Jesus said, what Paul said about the purpose of this is remembering. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread. And He gave thanks. Lord, we thank You for this bread, that You take seeds and dirt and water and you make bread out of it. You are miracle in doing that. And we thank You for this bread, Lord. And Jesus broke it. And He said, this is My body broken for you. And then in the same way, Jesus took the cup, and it says in the same manner, so I believe he thanked God for this. Lord, you take dirt and water and seeds and grapes, and you make juice and wine out of it. That's a miracle, Lord. That's an amazing testimony to who you are, and we thank you for this. And then Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant that's shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget this. Don't forget what I'm doing, and don't forget what you've been cleansed of. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to remember. We're going to have this reminder, this physical, touchable, tasteable reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And I hope that also prompts you, as Peter said, not to forget not only what he did in a vacuum or what he did in some abstract sense, but what he cleansed you from and what he continues to cleanse you from. And then that becomes the motivation to say, oh, Lord, if you've cleansed me from that, I want to pursue all these character qualities. I want to be growing and increasing in self-control and knowledge and steadfastness and brotherly affection and love. Because I see what you've done. I see the cleansing. And don't let me forget that cleansing. Don't let me be blind and short-sighted by forgetting. So use this as a reminder this morning. Not only of what Jesus did in general, but what he did for you in particular. If you've been here, you know that if you are a believer, if you are trusting in Jesus for your salvation, then you're welcome to join us, no matter what your background. And as I always do, I encourage you not to go alone to the table, but to go in a group of people. Because again, remember, what we're looking forward to is participating, fellowshipping in the divine nature with the Trinity. And so what we have here is a foretaste. Going by yourself kind of misses out on that foretaste of fellowshipping and participating and communing with the Holy Trinity. So I encourage you, because of that, to grab somebody else. Be bold. Reach out to someone else. And remember together what God has cleansed you from individually, what God has cleansed us from corporately. Now pray with me, please. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to you in adoration. We come to you in humility, in just being amazed, Lord, because when we start to remember what you've done, Father, when we remember the plan that you instituted from before the foundation of the world, and Jesus, when we remember the plan that you implemented, that you died for, that you suffered for, and when, Holy Spirit, we remember the plan that you have put into our hearts and how you have been the one that has turned our stony hearts into a heart of flesh so that we have something to remember, so that we have the cleansing that you've done in our lives and the work that Jesus did on the cross to the glory and the pleasure of the Father. Lord, we confess that we forget. We confess that we don't take that very seriously sometimes. We just sort of move on without thinking about what you've done. Lord, open our eyes so that we're not blind and nearsighted, so that we can see what you've cleansed us from, and that will just be a exciting, motivating, challenging joy in our hearts to follow this, so that pursuing these increasing character qualities isn't a burden. It's not a chore. It's not a checklist we have to work on. It's our response to you because of how you have cleansed us, Lord. Lord, meet us in these elements. Meet us as we share together in this bread and this cup, so that we would know you better, and by meeting you, that then in turn would be a reminder to us of how you've cleansed us. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be your kingdom now and forever. Amen.